I want to ask you what part of the country you come from.
I originate from Canada. I guess where that is.
Well, I know where Canada is. I've been there myself.
Well, travel for a slave.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
I was born a free man, lived with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped, sold into slavery.
Well, boy, how you feel now?
My name is Solomon Northup. I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
Hey everybody, it's been a 007 back for another 10-minute spoiler-free movie review. And today we're discussing the critically acclaimed, commercially successful movie 12 Years a Slave, which is based on the true story of a free black man living in the north of the United States in 1841, who was kidnapped and sold into slavery in New Orleans, and how he, as the title suggests, has to endure life on a variety of different plantations before he finally makes his way back to the north. Now, just to give you some of the context surrounding the release of this film, I watched it at the London Film Festival, and it was by far the hottest ticket. And it was also the only movie that received a standing ovation on its premiere. And this is really shocking, you know, the London Film Festival isn't like Cannes. We're a much more sober crowd. We don't hoot at the screen when we love something, and we don't boo and hiss when we don't. But this movie really got an amazing welcome. And I'm not surprised in one respect, because the movie drips with both earnest good intentions and a real artistic sensibility that it is brought to it by its director, Steve McQueen. Now, Steve McQueen is a British conceptual artist termed film director, and I first came across his movie Hunger that played the film festival a few years ago, and I didn't know anything about him. I didn't really know anything about the star of that film, Michael Fassbender, who of course since then has become very famous for his work in the X-Men, Inglourious Basterds, and, you know, has continued to work in more arthouse features with Steve McQueen. And that movie, which was about the hunger strikes in Northern Ireland, was so austere, so visually stunning, so emotionally searing, that it completely affected me and was by far the standout film of that year's festival, and I was desperate to know what this guy would do next. Sure enough, a few years later, Steve McQueen shows up with a movie again starring Michael Fassbender called Shame, which was the film about sex addiction, and it was again a movie that did not let the audience off the hook. It forced our gaze onto this very difficult subject, treated it with such empathy, such amazing tour de force acting, that once again it was the standout movie of that year. So I, like the rest of the London Film Festival crowd, came to 12 Years a Slave with amazingly high expectations. And all week I'd been hearing friends of mine tweet from press screenings saying, the amazing thing about this film is that it does not fall into sentimentality. It's never emotionally manipulative, despite the fact that it's showing you incredibly strong material and that the acting performances were astounding. And people were calling it, you know, the definitive film about slavery. So expectations were incredibly high. And I have to say, my experience of watching the film was one of disappointment, which is not to say it's a bad film. It just, my reaction was a bit more equivocal, and I certainly didn't feel that this was the best film that Steve McQueen had ever made. I mean, I think it's third out of three, frankly. And maybe that's right, because it has to be of its nature a more mainstream release than his previous more austere works. But I do feel it's a movie that even beyond that, even beyond the more mainstream directorial vision, has some deep problems. But anyway, let's start with the plot. So normally these are spoiler-free movie reviews, but you know, this is a true life story, been out since the 1870s, so I think it's pretty well known. Solomon Northup, played by Chiwetel Ejiofor, amazing actor, British actor. When we meet him, it's a wonderful depiction of a self-assured, wealthy, totally complacent black man who's living in the north of the United States with a wonderful family. He's obviously respected in his community, both by white and black men. And that is certainly a depiction I don't think we've ever seen on film before. And it was wonderful to see the way he owns the screen, the ebullience that he has. But he is conned, he's tricked by these nefarious kidnappers, one of whom is played by Scoot McNairy in a role that's absolutely, it's a small role, but it's written for his face. It's the perfect casting of a character actor. And we get into this wonderful journey down to New Orleans, which is grim and scary, frightening. And you see there the absolute philosophical question that the people who have been kidnapped face, which is, do you resist? Do you try to escape? Or is that just a ticket to certain death? Or in order to survive this horrible fact, do you have to go within yourself, become seemingly passive in order to conserve your emotional energy and your idea of your identity? And that's the decision that our lead character makes, that he is going to endure so that somehow one day he can get back to his family. So we move through that kidnapping phase, we arrive in New Orleans, where again there's this amazing cameo by Paul Giamatti as the slave trader. And there is a tour de force scene where really Steve McQueen is at the top of his game. It's all a single take, but incredibly mobile and elegant as he moves through the seemingly very elegant New Orleans home. But scattered around the different rooms are these different specimens, to use the horrible word, of slaves. And to see Paul Giamatti's character sort of try and sell these goods by extolling their virtues and what they will be and become is absolutely chilling, because you can see that this is not per se an evil, nefarious, subversive man. He's just a very good salesman and he's part of a system. And what this film does more than anything is show you, in a kind of quite cool, detached way, the cogs of the machinery of slavery, as much as we condemn it as a moral evil, is obviously a very complex, detailed, and at that point, very well-functioning economic system. And one forgets how far it really was the bedrock of the economic system of the South, hence, you know, people going to war over it. So that is stunning. The first sort of, you know, 45 minutes of this film, absolutely unimpeachable. I think the film kind of takes a bit of a downshift in gear when we get to the first plantation. So really the film falls into two halves. We have the first and second plantation where Solomon Northup, now renamed Platt, is held. And he is bought by a slave owner called William Ford, played by Benedict Cumberbatch, who by the standards of slavery is actually a relatively enlightened owner. He's obviously a deeply religious man, rather passive. Problem is his passivity is complemented by the absolute sadism of his overseer, John Tibbetts, played by Paul Dano. And again, an absolutely chillingly brilliant cameo by Paul Dano here. Probably his best work in a very small role. And of course, you know, Solomon Northup becomes the favourite because he's incredibly talented, he's incredibly learned. And that inspires jealousy with Paul Dano's character. And the whole thing culminates in a sequence where we have that flash amongst all this kind of mainstream stuff, this flash of what Steve McQueen can do. And really it's a scene that I find is pivotal at the center point of this film, where we see Platt strung up, effectively hung, and the camera stays fixed on him. It does not allow us to move our gaze away from this horror. It doesn't let us off the hook. And what's amazing about that long take is that it's not just the suffering of the slave, it's the fact that the life of the plantation carries on around him. You know, the slaves still have their work to do, they're not allowed to look or help him really because they're going to get into trouble. It's the callous indifference that this is just a cog in the wheel, this is ordinary and everyday, and they get on with it. And then the camera just slowly pans round. And you realise this act of hanging is taking place right next to the very elegant plantation house that the wife of the plantation owner is looking on. So it's the juxtaposition of apparent civilization and civility next to this brutal act. As a consequence of that act, we then have the slave owner, William Ford, having to sell the slave to Edwin Epps, played by Michael Fassbender. And we move into really the second, more intense part of the film. And here we have Michael Fassbender, I feel, really take over the movie. Chiwetel Ejiofor as the slave is really a secondary character. Because really what this part of the story is about is a deeply sexually complex, sadistic man who has a very ambiguous and disturbing relationship to his slaves, encapsulated in his relationship with a girl called Patsy, played by an actress called Lupita Nyong'o. You know, this is a guy who feels very comfortable in close proximity to his slaves, but he does value them as beasts of labor. He measures their output, and that's how he values them. But he obviously has a deeply sexual attraction to Patsy, his very sadistic wife, played by Sarah Paulson, is aware of, and therefore she is the jealous Paul Dano type in this second relationship. She tries to stir Edwin Epps into punishing Patsy. And we get this amazing scene in which Edwin Epps has to punish Patsy to retain his authority, but cannot bring himself to do it, and therefore forces Solomon Northup to beat her. And again, it's the scene that's symmetrical to the one at the end of the first plantation experience, where we have an act of supreme violence and the camera is 100% focused, and we cannot divert our attention away, and neither should we be allowed to. And I admire in that Steve McQueen's absolute, his moral harshness with us. We cannot look away. So those are the sort of the two halves of the movie. And then, of course, as the title would suggest, he's 12 years a slave, so there is a kind of rescue as his true identity is given out. And as I've described it just now, I realise again how much individual scenes, individual performance, I really am impressed by. So why is this not a movie that I would give a standing ovation? Two reasons. First of all, I don't think the acting's uniformly good, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm such a Benedict Cumberbatch fan, but I don't think he is convincing as the southern slave owner in the first plantation experience. I don't think his southern accent's convincing. And I think, in a sense, too much time is spent on that plantation. It's a rather, because he's a banal owner, it's a rather banal scene. And I know it's there to then contrast later with Epps as a slave owner, but I just feel I could have maybe cut some of the time out of that section of the film. But the second reason why I dock this film some marks is entirely about the final 20 minutes. If it weren't for the final 20 minutes of this film would be still, I think, a work of great genius. And the reason why is twofold, but both have to do with a gross misjudgment of tone. So the means for facilitating the escape of Solomon Northup is that a very liberal Canadian carpenter comes to Edwin Epps' plantation called Samuel Bass, and he writes a letter to his friends in the North that results in the freedom. And the way Brad Pitt plays this part, I mean, Brad Pitt's the producer on this movie, and kudos to him for producing it, because otherwise it probably wouldn't have gotten made without the liberal good intentions of Brad Pitt. But putting Brad Pitt in that role, basically playing Brad Pitt, and with this dialogue that is like some cheesy homily. I mean, he's every cliche of the liberal Hollywood actor that movies like Team America World Police satirize. It's just so out of context, it's so anachronistic, and just utterly takes you out of a movie that up until that point has been scrupulous with costume and dialogue about keeping you in that period. So I think that's a massive, massive error of judgment. And then the second reason why I think this movie utterly fails at the end is that we get a coda. There is a very natural point at which this film should close, which is after the intervention of, you know, the Jesus Christ Brad Pitt figure, where we have a very ambiguous scene where Solomon's leaving in a carriage and he looks back and he sees the slaves, particularly Patsy, that he's leaving behind to their fate. And that is a wonderfully slippery, ambiguous ending, and a sophisticated moral ending that a film like this deserves, which has not allowed us to make simplistic sort of emotional judgments at all. And yet, for whatever reason, the screenwriters and Steve McQueen have felt it necessary to put on an epilogue, which sees the very happy Hallmark card ending of the family being reunited. And maybe they felt that by this point, having seen so much harshness, that the audience needed catharsis. They needed that ending. But I felt that it utterly undermined everything that this movie was trying to say and do, And it really struck me the wrong way. I felt it was crass and cheap and too easy in a movie that had resisted judgments that were easy. So overall, 12 Years a Slave, I mean, I'm so pleased this movie got made. It's an amazing achievement, for the most part, amazing acting. Steve McQueen can't be as purely art house in his direction, but there are, as I said, those two pivotal scenes in each of the plantations that are stunning, and that wonderful New Orleans slave trade scene, which are directed with such panache. But I feel that in the final 20 minutes, it really slips up. That said, I know I'm a minority here, and I know it's been very commercially successful in the US. So if you've seen the movie and agree or disagree with my take, then please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at bina007.com. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. Twelve Years a Slave has a running time of 133 minutes and is rated R in the USA. The movie played Telluride, London and Toronto, where Steve McQueen won the People's Choice Award. The movie is already on release in the USA, Germany and Spain. The full schedule of release can be found on the written review at bina007.com, but the UK release date, just to point that out, is January 24th.